On to Kansas now, where this week the state became the first in the nation to outlaw a particular abortion procedure in the second trimester. Kansas is known for its staunch pro-life stance, and so is the state's Governor Sam Brownback. Last January, on the 42nd anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision at the Supreme Court, Brownback headlined a Kansas Right to Life event at the Statehouse in Topeka this way.
Let us see an end to the killing of children in Kansas.
According to the Guttmacher Institute, a pro-choice think tank, Kansas has only three abortion providers left in the state. And bills similar to the one that Kansas has passed have also been introduced in places like Missouri and Oklahoma and back in South Carolina. These are the latest examples in a growing trend of state laws restricting access to abortion in sort of a mosaic fashion. Elizabeth Nash is Senior State Issues Associate for the Guttmacher Institute, and she joins me now with more. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
First, let's deal with Kansas. Can you help us understand exactly what the Kansas law does? Because so many of the state laws that are popping up and being proposed, some of them take less than direct routes to restricting abortion.
I'd say this law is also a little bit of a mystery. Clearly, the bill is aimed at making second trimester abortion difficult to access in the state. But exactly what is banned is still being sussed out by the providers, because the language used in the bill is not medical language and doesn't mention a specific method of abortion. So as a result, providers are really left with trying to figure out exactly what they're allowed to do and what they're not.
If a bill like this is vague in terms of its medical language, does that make it vulnerable in front of the Supreme Court? And I ask that because a ban on partial birth abortion in the state of Nebraska back in 2000 was overturned by the Supreme Court, largely because the medical language of partial birth abortion was deemed too vague.
Exactly. So we're in a very similar situation here in Kansas, where it's unclear exactly as to what is being banned and what is being allowed. And, you know, note that at the end of the day in 2007, the Supreme Court upheld the federal version of the partial birth abortion ban. So that law is in effect across the country because it was enacted by Congress and upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. So we are seeing sometimes this language become law and go into effect. And now we just have to see what's going to happen in Kansas. Certainly people there are looking at litigation.
Now, these Supreme Court rulings, you mentioned one in 2007 that upheld the federal ban on partial birth abortion. I mentioned one that overturned Nebraska in the year 2000. And these Supreme Court rulings seem to sort of provide the guidance or even the starting gun for states to take their own routes in trying to restrict abortion. For instance, Texas has taken a route where they're not really restricting abortion. They're restricting clinics and making it hard for clinics to stay open, and many have closed. So what are some of the states doing to restrict abortion in ways that don't actually tell a woman you can't have one or tell a doctor you can't perform one?
So we're seeing lots of variations on this theme. Certainly we're seeing laws that require a woman to wait a specific time before she can have the abortion, sometimes 72 hours. We're seeing laws that require women to get misleading and inaccurate information about abortion, such as that you could get breast cancer from having an abortion. That's been disproven by scientists in the National Cancer Institute. We're seeing people making it harder for women to pay for abortion by limiting their health plans and what the health plan can cover. So we're seeing those kinds of restrictions that affect women directly. Then we're seeing restrictions that focus on providers by saying that they can have clinics, but the clinic room sizes have to be a certain width and length, and the hallways have to be a certain width and length. And those sorts of requirements, although may seem tedious and benign to some, make it very difficult to keep your clinic doors open. Also, we're seeing attacks on providers by requiring admitting privileges at local hospitals, which can be very difficult to get, especially because hospitals tend to shy away from controversial issues such as abortion. Between 2011 and 2014, we saw 231 abortion restrictions enacted in 30 states. So it really isn't just Texas or Kansas, the two states we've been talking about today. It's all across the country.
Now, pro-life opposition to abortion is nothing new at all. So what's led to what seems to be this latest strategy and the latest push for so many smaller restrictions piling up in so many states that are taking action against abortion from so many different directions? What's behind it?
for a long time now, for a couple of decades, we've really seen state legislatures adopt abortion restrictions, but we saw this huge increase in 2011, and that was a direct result of the elections in 2010. In 2010, we saw a number of state legislatures and governorships move dramatically to the conservative end. And as a result, they started adopting abortion restrictions incredibly quickly. They just have piled up so fast. You know, we really have seen, you know, no action at the congressional level, although there have been some small expansions of abortion access actually last year around the Peace Corps. But, you know, if you're talking about abortion restrictions, you have to look to the states. And it's a real shame because the states could also be used to make sure that young people have access to good sex education and that all individuals have access to contraceptive services.
Elizabeth Nash, Senior State Issues Associate for the Guttmacher Institute, thanks so much.
Thank you.